Okay. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
If you went out into the high street, perhaps in some town, and asked people, "Who is Jesus Christ?" you might get lots of different answers. But a few would probably say the Son of God, even if they weren't quite sure, because they've heard that's what he was supposed to be. But some might say, well, he was a very great man, you know, a great teacher, a great leader, a very important person in our history. All sorts of things you might get people say. One or two I've looked up on the internet that people say about him. The central figure of Christianity. The most important person who ever lived. A source of inspiration, insight, and ethical input was one opinion of who he was. What about other religions then? What do they think? Well, I'll get to that in a moment. Some would say, well, he was a political rebel, a revolutionary. The Sikhs say Jesus was a great teacher and prophet. The Baha'i people say he was one of the many manifestations of God. Islam says he was the penultimate prophet and a messenger of God. And the Jews would say, a Jew but not divine or the Son of God, nor the promised Messiah. So lots of different views about who Jesus was. And Jesus asked his disciples on this occasion, didn't he? First of all, he said, "Who do people say I am?" What do you hear people saying about me in the crowds, in the marketplace, who I am? They said, well, some say you're Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, come back to life. Some say you're John the Baptist, resurrected. Or one of the prophets who's come back to life again from the Old Testament. All sorts of opinions of who Jesus was. Jesus then said, well, that's all very well, but what about you? Who do you say I am? That's what matters. Not what other people are saying. Who do you say that I am? That was the important question. Then there was Peter's answer, wasn't there? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, well, God must have told you that. This wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. That's divine inspiration, divine insight, to say that's who you recognize me to be. He knew, he told the truth, of course. So Peter gave that answer. What about you, Jesus said. And Peter said, well, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one we've been waiting for centuries. You're the one who has come at last. Tradition says that Peter ended up in Rome and was martyred for his faith. A few years back, we went to Italy and we went to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And there is where Peter is said to have been buried. It's interesting. You see the words of Peter there on his tomb. Firstly, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And two other phrases of Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And then, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. That was, of course, when Jesus met them on the beach. And Peter was asked three times, do you love me? It's interesting, wasn't it, to see Although we don't believe in lots of Catholic ideas, nonetheless, it's good to see in the Vatican Church these phrases there that Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, what did Jesus claim about himself then? Well, he said, I and the Father are one. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus was quite clear, wasn't he, about himself, that he was divine. He was the Messiah. He was God's Son. He was God himself. He made no secret of the fact of his deity. Now, of course, when Peter said that, he did say, "Don't tell anyone." For that moment, it wasn't his time to be revealed. It could have been that if they went around telling everyone, the crowds would mob him and try and make him king, or the enemies of Jesus would come in and drag him away before his time came. So that wasn't the time to reveal that to everyone. But Peter had understood it, and the other disciples hopefully after that as well. But not the time for everyone to know about it at that moment. Now, of course, the Jewish leaders just wouldn't accept that, would they? They wouldn't accept. In fact, they were so angry, eventually they had him crucified because they said it was blasphemy that he said he was the Son of God. And so they wouldn't accept it. They'd waited for thousands of years for a Messiah to come. When he came, they rejected him. Wasn't the kind of Messiah they wanted. Now, many people today would deny the deity of Jesus. Even sadly, some in the church would say he wasn't God. They claim he wasn't the Son of God. He was just a great man, a moral teacher. Very good example to us all. His teaching was wonderful. Most people would say, yes, the Sermon on the Mount is wonderful. If we all lived by that, it would be great. They would agree to that, but they would not agree that Jesus was God in the flesh, which, of course, is very central to our faith, isn't it? C.S. Lewis had something interesting to say about this. He said, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice, whether this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can't have a middle way. You either believe he was the Son of God, or he was mad. He said those things which couldn't possibly be true about himself. He couldn't possibly have been a good moral teacher if he said he was God and he wasn't." So, C.S. Lewis puts it clearly, doesn't he? Take your choice. There's much controversy about this verse, where Jesus said, "I tell you this, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Catholics would say that Peter was the rock and the first pope. We wouldn't agree with that. Certainly Peter was a great leader in the early church, but he wasn't the rock on which the church would be built. He wasn't that firm foundation. We know that Peter went on to deny his Lord, didn't he? After when Jesus was being crucified, so he wasn't really a rock, a firm foundation, though he went on to be a firm foundation later when the church began. He went out boldly proclaiming the gospel. But Peter was not the rock. The rock was what Jesus said. The Son of the living God. That's the rock. That's the foundation of the church. The fact Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. The rock on which God will establish his church is in the confession Peter made that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the foundation. And that still is the church's foundation. We sang, didn't we? The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. And Jesus promised the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Interesting what Matthew Henry wrote, the Bible commentator. He wrote hundreds of years ago, "The church shall survive the world and be in bliss when the world is in ruins." The church shall survive the world and be in bliss when the world is in ruins. The church will outlive everything. Some people think the church is dying. It's not dying, of course, worldwide anyway. It's not dying even in this country. But the church will survive the world because it has a foundation. And Jesus is the foundation. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. He is God in human form. couple of years later or so, when after Peter said that, Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate, wasn't he? In the judgment hall. Pilate said to the crowd, "What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with him?" And we know what the answer was, don't we? "Crucify him, away with him. We won't have this man as our king." So he went to the cross. This was no tragic end to a promising career. This was God's plan, not an accident, not a life shortened tragically. But Jesus knew where he was going. He knew he had to go to the cross, and he went to the cross. Our sin needed atoning for, and that was the only way to atone for our sin. The perfect Son of God to die for us. "What shall I do with Jesus?" Pilate said. They said, "Away with him." They thought they were destroying him, but they were actually helping to fulfill God's plan that he would die for us, and he would come back to life again in victory. The question comes to us, doesn't it? What will we do with Jesus? There's an old song. "What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? He'll come again as king and judge one day." We sang just now, "Coming with clouds descending." So we need to answer that question now, don't we? What will we do with Jesus? There's three choices really, aren't there? Reject him, ignore him, or accept him. Three choices. Reject him, ignore him, accept him. But when we accept him for who he is and what he's done for us, it brings us untold and incomparable blessings for this life and the next. So what will we do with Jesus? Peter's confession: he was the Son of the living God, the foundation of the church. He's alive, and the church won't die. The church cannot die. It has a firm foundation, so it cannot die.